Take it from somebody who knows, it is really tough to find qualified candidates. It takes a long time. There's so many applicants. At least that's the way it used to be. And then I found out about ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter takes that process and makes it so easy. Check this out. ZipRecruiter.com/clones. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. But they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through their site within the very first day. With results like that, it is no wonder that ZipRecruiter is the highest-rated hiring site in America. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/clones. ZipRecruiter.com/clones, C-L-O-N-E-S. ZipRecruiter.com/clones. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Third and final hour of the week. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Very busy hour. Good hour. Nice to have you here. Tremendous Friday to you. We are live in Southern California in the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. You could actually get through, maybe. Hit me up right now. Toll free in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-636-8686. We start the hour off, as promised, with a conversation with the head coach of the Indiana Pacers. Third season with the Pacers. He led them to the playoffs each season as head coach. He is a USA basketball assistant. Indiana, 48-34 last season. They open up the season Wednesday against Memphis, 7 p.m. The NBA season is upon us. We are joined by Pacers head coach Nate McMillan. Nate, so good to have you back. What's going on, Nate? How are you?
I'm doing good, Jim. How are you, man?
It's great. Great, Nate. Great to visit with you, and I appreciate it so much. You know, last season, Nate, you went into the season with a number of new faces, and you had a plan for the style of play that you wanted to implement. But at this time last year, did you know that you had a team that could win 48 games and make the postseason?
No, you know, I really never, take that approach. Putting a number on the number of games we're looking to, or trying to win. You know, we take it one game at a time. Last year with somewhat of a new roster and the trade of Paul George, bringing in Victor and Sabonis, and we had somewhat of a new team. And, you know, our approach was, you know, to create a culture and, you know, a system that, plays hard. They play the game smart. They play the game the right way. And I just feel that if you take that approach, all of us have talent here in the NBA. But if you take that approach, you're going to give yourself a chance to win games. And we was able to win a number of games last year.
48 of them. Nate McMillan joining us. Nate, you mentioned Victor. Vic Oladipo had an amazing year last year, and then he went right back to work when the offseason started. So what changes are you looking for in his game from last year to this year, and how does he look right now?
Well, you know, he's still hungry. You know, he came in last year really hungry to come out and prove that he was a good player in this league. There was a lot of talk about, the Pacers didn't get enough in the trade. And I think that, you know, kind of rubbed him the wrong way. But, you know, he came out very aggressive, very confident. He had worked extremely hard on his game. Got off to a good start and continued to grow really throughout the season. You know, at the beginning of the season, you know, he was basically seeing single coverage. And by the time we got to All-Star break, the end of the season and the playoffs, you know, teams started to double-team him. You know, he just did a great job of adapting to what defense was how they were defending him, the coverage. This summer he really worked on his body because he, you know, kind of took somewhat of a beating last year. You know, he did a lot for us, took a little bit of pounding, going to the basket and, getting knocked to the floor. So he just continued that work ethic this offseason to get himself ready for this upcoming season. And he's a guy that's very hungry to improve, get better, and to make his teammates better. And he wants to someday play in the NBA Finals. And, you know, that's his goal.
Pacers head coach Nate McMillan is my guest, also a USA basketball assistant. Nate, you mentioned that he worked on his body. As long as we're talking about guys who worked on their bodies, you've got Miles Turner, and he apparently really did reshape his body in the offseason. He changed his diet. He hit the weights. He did some yoga. He said, quote, "I feel more, I don't think majestic is the word for it, but I feel better, not as wobbly," end quote. What kind of a difference have you noticed in his game as a result?
Well, I think, you know, that just shows maturity in both of these guys, you know, recognizing at the end of the season things that they need to work on. And right away, these guys went to work on those areas of their game. You know, Miles took about a week off and was right back into the gym and really worked to get stronger, you know, get his balance, you know, working on his core. You know, he spent all summer long doing that. Victor did the same thing. You know, Victor really didn't take any days off, you know, the first 3 days after the season was over. Victor was back in the gym working on his body and working on his game. So, you know, for those guys, you know, it comes a time where, you know, young guys in the league, they recognize and they mature and they see things that they need to do to improve their game. And those were areas that those guys felt that they needed to work on to come back and be able to get to that next level in their games. And, you know, both guys worked extremely hard. They've had good training camps and, you know, they're getting themselves ready for opening night.
Nate McMillan joining us, opening night right around the corner. Nate, I spoke to Cincinnati football coach Luke Fickell yesterday. We talked about culture, and he said, hey, listen, that's a real buzz term. It has been for the last few years. You mentioned it at the top of this conversation. Victor Oladipo invited the team down to Miami for workouts and team bonding back in August. What's it say about him as a leader that he put that together and that everybody who did not have a national team obligation was there? I've got to think as head coach, you were really happy to see that.
It was great, you know. Victor put this together on his own. You know, talked to us, to the organization about it in July, and you know, all the guys went down the last week of August and worked out for 4 days in Miami. And you know, he paid for some dinners and you know, some speakers to come in, and you know, he has a couple of workout people down there that trained the team. And they went through some workouts, and you know, he's just been a joy, really, to work with. You know, he's a young guy that, you know, he absorbs what you say to him. He's always trying to learn how to improve and get better. He's always working on his game and you know, areas of his game that he feels or that, you know, the coach feels he needs to bring out on the floor to help the team improve. And, you know, one of those things was, you know, he made the decision to get the team together for a little mini camp in Miami. You know, this guy is constantly, you know, trying to improve his game. You know, he watches a ton of film. You know, he and Dwayne Wade are very close, you know, so he's always picking, you know, Wade's brain on how he can improve and do better and, you know, win in this league. So he's just been really a joy to work with and coach.
Got a couple more minutes with Nate McMillan, the head coach of Indiana. You know, Nate, as I mentioned, you're USA assistant as well. So you, Steve Kerr, Jay Wright were named as assistants for Greg Popovich in USA basketball for the 2019-20 national team. You've been through the experience before in Beijing and London. So how excited are you? And then what's it like for even you who played in the league and has coached in the league to get around guys like that?
Jim, I mean, man, it really is a blessing. You know, when I first was asked to coach or be an assistant back in 2005 for Coach K, and having the opportunity to work with Coach K and Coach Boeheim and Mike D'Antoni, you know, I'm sitting there like pinching myself, like, really? You know, you get this opportunity to work with, you know, great coaches and work with the best players in the world. And then, you know, it comes around again. You know, this summer, Coach Popovich gave me a call and asked me if I would assist him. And, you know, it's like, okay, this is happening again. You know, you get the opportunity to work with some of the best coaches in the world. And Coach K, and now Coach Popovich, and, you know, Steve Kerr and Coach Wright, and the best players, you know. So, it, you know, you always are trying to learn and get better. And, you know, this, you know, once again, I get that opportunity to work with these guys and see how they manage their teams and, you know, listen to, you know, some of the things that, some of the ways that they teach their teams how to play. And, you know, our goal is to go for gold. You know, you have an opportunity to once again go and represent your country and go for the gold medal. So I'm just, you know, really you know, it's another blessing, and I'm looking forward to it.
One last thing. I mean, Pop obviously is one of the best to ever do it on the professional level, but I'm fascinated. I've always been fascinated that Coach K does as well with professional players as he does. Guys rave about him. Kobe loves him. What was your biggest takeaway from working with Coach K?
He works hard. He works extremely hard, and he's prepared. There's a, you know, it's a reason he is successful, and, you know, his approach and, you know, the things that he, you know, taught all of us, you know, he built a family within, you know, 45 days. You know, that's about the time that we spent together. And he gave, you know, that family a vision and a roadmap on how we were going to accomplish, you know, the gold medal and, you know, and how we were going to do it. And we basically followed that roadmap, and, you know, he was the driver at that time, but he's a motivator, you know, just an excellent coach. You know, he works extremely hard on his team, preparing them for what they are about to, you know, the journey that they're about to go on. And so there are no surprises, you know, when you start to, you know, take that course. And it was just really that opportunity, having that opportunity to see, you know, Coach K and Jimmy Boeheim and Mike D'Antoni, you know, working with those guys and winning gold in 2008 and world championship in 2010. And then we was fortunate enough to be invited back and win it again in 2012. He works at it, and, you know, there's a reason that, he's had the success that he's had.
Nate, let me borrow you for one more second. You know, you're focused on your team, the goals in front of you, but you were Mr. Sonic, literally Mr. Sonic. You had a brilliant career in Seattle. I love watching you play there. It's the 10th year now without the Sonics in Seattle. Did you check out the scene at the Key Arena last week when the Warriors and Kings played a preseason there? And if so, what did you make of that?
Unbelievable. It didn't surprise me, you know, that it was sold out. And, you know, you take your hat off to Durant and the Warriors and the Kings for, you know, going back up, going up to Seattle and playing a preseason game, because, you know, that's a great sports town. It's, you know, not just NBA, but, you know, football and baseball and the Huskies. That's a great sports town. I spent 19 years in Seattle. It'll always have a special place in my heart. They certainly deserve another franchise. And, you know, we're hoping that the NBA will one day, you know, allow a franchise to go back to Seattle. But the atmosphere amazing in Key Arena. You know, Gary the Glove, Peyton was there. They had, you know, Coach Wilkins and a lot of the guys who they still live in Seattle. You know, it's a great place for sports and just a great city.
Great teams, too. Great teams. Indiana coming off a 48-win season. Nate, I'm anxious to see what the guys look like on the floor this year. I appreciate you, Nate, very much. You know that, and it's always good to have you on the show. Thank you very much for doing it, Nate.
Jim, thank you. Look forward to talking to you again.
You too, Nate. Thanks so much. Nate McMillan, he is all class. He was such a great player, and his transition beautifully as a head coach. You get that ask. You get that invite to be a USA assistant that tells you what how well you're thought of in the basketball community. And they won 48, and I love what he had to say about his guys and the way they went after it. That Vic Oladipo had 3 days off and went right back to work. Victor Oladipo, and if you talk to him about it, he won't give you that vibe. But the immense chip on his shoulder that he took all that in about how they didn't get enough, they could have done so much better for Paul George, everybody said it. Nobody didn't say that. We talked about it on this show, and Vic obviously heard it all and just turned himself, wheeled himself into a force, and it sounds like he'll be even better. So I'm anxious to see how they look on the floor this year. Nate McMillan, my guest. Seattle, a little bone for you. It was good to hear him talk about the Sonics. He mentioned Gary Payton. I've been thinking about the Glove. Gary, what's up? You should be on the podcast. The Glove would be a great Jim Rome podcast guest. All right, speaking of the podcast, I've got Pat McAfee up right now. McAfee went legend on our podcast. If you have not subscribed yet and you've not heard that episode yet, you have to hear it. You want to make sure you check that out. Also, we had Pat on. Pat dropped a documentary. Pat McAfee, professional baseball player. It is so good. It's like the best $5 I ever spent. It's really good. All right, to be fair, I pre-ordered. It's the best $3.33 I ever spent.
Yeah, Alvy, I know what time it is. It's all good, bro.
When we come back, my man Will Brinson joins us. We talk some football with him. Will will be there. He'll get all the time he needs. I promise, Alvy. Stay tuned. Will Brinson is next. My thanks to Nate McMillan. You're in the jungle. Do not go anywhere.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
My thanks to Nate McMillan. Indiana Patriots head coach and assistant with USA Basketball, too. Man, today's been a blast. The show has done itself today. It's about to get better. We are joined right now by a senior NFL writer for CBS Sports, host of the Pick Six NFL podcast, another good friend of the program, Will Brinson, joins me right now. Will, brother, what's going on? How are you?
Jim, what's going on, man? Happy Friday. Hope all's well with you.
It's all good, man. Great Friday. Good to have you back, Will. All right, so let me start right here. If you had to sum up, Will, if you had to sum up Eli Manning and the Giants offense in one single word, what word would you choose?
Washed. They are washed, and Eli is washed, and he's been bad for several years now, and the chickens are coming home to roost, as we like to say in the South. With the way that this management and this front office and this look, here's they've decided to double down on Eli for multiple years, and it's resulted in an offense that can't get vertical down the field. They don't have an offensive line to protect a guy who's only okay in a fully protected pocket, and they've lost, you know, value in other areas. I mean, look, Saquon Barkley's fantastic, Jim, but this offense, if it can't make it work with Odell Beckham and Saquon Barkley, that's a major problem. And I think that the inability to see past the flaws of Eli Manning has turned the Giants into the Jets.
Will Brinson, my guest, it's well said. But what about right now? I mean, now are they at a point? Do people in the Giants organization know that he is washed up and don't want to admit it? Or, Will, are there still people in that organization that actually think that he can turn this around?
I think they believe that Eli can ride off in a white horse and, you know, and end up succeeding at some point. I think they still buy into it. The reality of the situation, Jim, is that Eli Manning – like, if his name was Eli Smith, he wouldn't be going into the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's a guy with two great playoff runs and okay statistics in the regular season over a long period of time. He's got an Ironman streak, and he's got two big throws and a lot of help from some defense. But this is not a guy who, you know, he's not transcendent like his brother was. And, you know, as a result, I think that this organization gets caught up in the name value of Eli Manning. And as such, they're not willing to let him go. And it makes matters worse that they benched him for Geno freaking Smith last year, and they burnt all the goodwill to the ground, and now that they repaired the bridge, they can't go back and set fire to it again. They've kind of got to ride it out, and it's going to result in the Giants having another top five pick this year.
Will Brinson joining us. All right, Will, you mentioned Saquon Barkley and the fact that he was fantastic. I mean, when you see Barkley doing the types of things that he did last night, I mean, it seems utterly ridiculous to say this, but did the Giants make a mistake in drafting him over Sam Darnold or another quarterback?
Yes, they did. And not because Saquon Barkley's not great. The reality, Jim, is that when you look at that position and you look at the, I mean, it's a basic economic principle, and I'm not a good economic major or anything, but I know this one, opportunity cost. And when you draft a running back with a top five pick, you are passing on the opportunity to revive your franchise with a young quarterback. And this 2018 is a better example than any year we've seen, with the explosion of offenses, the need to have somebody, a quarterback who can take your offense over the top and to win games for you. And the Giants don't have that. I'm not saying they'd be 5-1 with Sam Darnold, but they would at least have hope for the future. I think when you look at the Jets, you say, all right, this club is in a good place moving forward. You know, you look at the Browns, you say this club's in a good place moving forward. You look at the Giants and you're like, oh my God, this is a train wreck, unless they get lucky and somebody like Will Greer or Jared Stidham or Ryan Finley is a franchise savior. And I just don't know that this class is going to live up to the group that they had. When you get a cluster of potential franchise quarterbacks like the one we had in 2018, you have to shoot your shot when you've got the number two overall pick. The Giants got a great player in Saquon Barkley, but it's ultimately going to cost them a lot of potential victories.
Shoot your shot, shoot your foot off, one or the other. Will Brinson joining us. And you mentioned the Browns. Will, there's so much buzz around that team right now, and in large part it's Baker Mayfield, in large part it's that defense. That defense is so nasty. I mean, they're good. They're good. Are they, in your mind, playoff good?
Yeah, I think they are, Jim, in that AFC where, and you know, they're in a tough division because I think the Ravens are a playoff caliber and Super Bowl caliber team with their defense. You know, I think that the Bengals are a very well-balanced team, just got Vontaze Perfect back, and they should be able to continue their momentum. You can't count out the Steelers. So it's a tough division, but in the AFC, I think the Browns can make a run. My biggest concern certainly has nothing to do with the defense. You know, I think Greg Williams is like a walking midlife crisis, but the dude's got he's put together an incredible defense this year. They're a legit top five unit right now. And, you know, if you look at the advanced metrics, even the traditional stats, this is a team that's not going away on defense. I worry that Hugh Jackson is going to cost them at some point, you know, this season, somewhere in the range of 3 to 4 games with his bad decision making. The offense has improved with Baker Mayfield. Their yards per play are up, you know, even against a tough Ravens defense. And I think they're going to make noise and try and chase for a wild card spot. But I think at the end of the day, Hugh Jackson manages to gas him out of the playoffs by virtue of a few questionable decisions at the end of games.
Wow. Will Brinson joining us. I would follow you on that. But before I let you go, I want you to hit you up on a few more things. They've got the Chargers well on Sunday, and that's a pretty nice test for them. Think about Philip Rivers. It seems to me, and maybe I'm not being fair when I say this, I just don't think this guy, for as much credit as he gets, I don't think that Philip Rivers gets the credit that he deserves. Are people sleeping on him right now? And if they are, what are they missing about this guy?
Yeah, you're 100% right, Jim. Everybody's sleeping on Philip. People have slept on Philip Rivers his whole career.
Right.
If you flip Rivers and Manning and gave Rivers the two rings, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer with his production. He's been a better quarterback than Eli his entire career. Doesn't get the credit for it. He's one of the best leaders in the NFL. One of the nicest dudes in the NFL. He's one of the toughest quarterbacks you'll ever see. Nobody, you know, in the past 10 years has sat in more behind more bad offensive lines and just chucked it sidearm down the field with three pass rushers beating down on him, take a big shot and get right back up. And to do it at his age, to continue to to change his game and evolve into the modern NFL and play the way that he's played. When you look at his stats and what he's doing right now, he should be right there with Drew Brees when we talk about the veteran quarterback MVP conversation. I think if I'm doing my top five right now, it's Patty Mahomes, Jared Goff, Drew Brees, Philip Rivers, and Tom Brady. I mean, these guys are all playing exceptionally well, and Rivers, he doesn't get the credit he deserves. People sleep on him, and I think that if they can get rid of the Chargers-ness of that team, they can really make a deep run. The only two losses they've got are to the Rams and the Chiefs. That's not a bad little resume.
Will Brinson, CBS colleague of mine. All right, Will, you mentioned Mahomes. Now, how do you not love that matchup? Kansas City going into Foxborough, and we know that Bill Belichick has made some young quarterbacks look really bad. Hell, we've known Belichick has made some veteran quarterbacks look really bad. But then again, Belichick probably has never seen a young quarterback quite like Patrick Mahomes. How do you see that matchup, and what do you think Belichick does to make Mahomes uncomfortable?
Yeah, I don't know that he has the deep. You're right. He's like 25-1 when he goes up against quarterbacks who are 26 or younger or in their second season. The stats are crazy. He dominates rookie quarterbacks, of course, Mahomes in his second year. But I think the game plan for the Patriots, they want this game to go under. The total is 59. It's creeping 59.5, creeping towards historical numbers in terms of what Vegas has put on a single game. If this game goes under, I think the Patriots win and win pretty easily, because it means that they've established Sony Michel, who's had two really nice games in a row, that they've used James White on short little checkdowns out of the backfield, and that they've slowed the pace of this game to a crawl, allowed Tom Brady to dink and dunk and dink and dunk, wear down the Chiefs' defense, which is going to be depleted anyway and isn't very good, frankly, and ultimately, pile up some points and make the Chiefs play catch-up. And I think that's what you need to do. You don't want the Chiefs to be balanced and aggressive out of the gate, because if they're playing from ahead, they can really flip you on your head. And Andy Reid did that last year. A little bit of a vengeance game here for New England. I think the Patriots – Jim, you can't get the Patriots on Sunday night in primetime -3.5 and bet on them and be fading the public very often, and you've got the chance right now. It's a pretty good little opportunity.
Will, I love it. So give the clones something. Throw them a bone. Patriots -3. How do you bet that? And if the over-under is 59 or 59.5, what would you do with that?
I would take the over. Because you don't want to, as we said on the Pick 6 podcast, you don't want to step in the freight train that is the under on that one. You could feel bad 20 minutes into that game. I think the play here is the Patriots. If you look at the way that they go against the spread, and I wrote about this on my CBSSports.com best bets column today, if you look at their numbers when they're favored by less than a touchdown at home, you don't get it very often. I would hammer the Patriots and bank on Bill Belichick. You're not going to get rich gambling against Bill Belichick, I'll tell you that much.
I love that. Will Brinson, my guest, read that column for the best bets. Will, one last thing. If Jason Garrett coached for anybody other than Jerry Jones, would he still be coaching?
No way. He wouldn't even get demoted to offensive coordinator. He's a professional clapper. I'm not sure what he does. He stands on the sidelines, claps, and then looks confused when it's 4th-and-1 and he's got to make a call. It's been a while since he's really done anything of note. And I think, as Jason Lockeforest said to me multiple times, that Jerry Jones keeps him around because there's no controversy with what his head coach wants. He is the polar opposite of a
Bill Parcells.
Jimmy Johnson. Bill Parcells. Yeah, I was about to say Bill Walsh. Bill Parcells or Jimmy Johnson. Like, those guys were hard-headed football guys who said, we want to shop for the groceries. And Jerry Jones, he didn't want that. He wants to win a Super Bowl title with Jason Garrett as his coach to say, I did this. This is all on me. And to take all the credit. And it's not going to happen as long as he's trotting out this current iteration of a coaching staff and roster.
Win a Super Bowl. I don't know if this guy's going to win a playoff game. Why would you want to keep Jimmy Johnson around? He only won Super Bowls every year. He only put that team together. But you're exactly right. That's exactly why Garrett is still the coach there. He is a senior NFL writer for CBS Sports. He is the host of the Pick 6 NFL podcast. You can also read him online. He's got his best bets up right now. Good friend of the program. Will, you just crushed it. Great to have you back, Will. Thanks so much.
Always a pleasure, Jim. Have a great weekend, man.
Great job, Will. Will Brinson. When I did the Rome show, the Daily Show, Will would come on. My man was good then, and he is so good now. You should read him and check out his podcast. Host of the Pick 6 NFL podcast, he said, hammer the Patriots. when they're favored by less than a touchdown at home. Hammer them. And he said, better to go with the over. I definitely would bet the over there. Even under the lights in Foxborough. And it's one thing to say that, yeah, well, Patrick Mahomes has never dealt with Bill Belichick. And Bill Belichick has made some really young quarterbacks look really stupid. Right. But look at the personnel they have on defense right now. Still love Patrick Mahomes. Love him in any situation right now. So when we return, we had some good interviews today. Chris Haynes, Nate McMillan, Will Brinson. Hey, Clones, help me with this. We're trying to book out Tuesday's show in New York. Who would you like to see me bring in studio in New York? Bart Scott's one guy we're on already. I have not run into my guy Bart in a while. I can't wait. Can't wait. Bart, be there. Can't wait to see you. I'm also going to be in New York because I'm going to sit with Dana White at the Sports Business Journal's sports conference. It's about media and sports. And obviously, the UFC, Dana White taking great advantage of technology and sports, I should say. The conference is about technology and sports. So I'm going to sit with Dana White. I'm looking forward to that. And I'm going to sit in the studios in New York, get caught up with my CBS fam. And I'll be back there on Tuesday. Monday here in SoCal, Tuesday in New York City. All right, we'll come back. One last segment. I've got the ATP. I've got the week that was. And I'm looking for a good phone call. You could get through right now. Oh, Hawk, I need the update on the car. Today has been easy and fun. What a great day. One last segment, the Hawk car update. And now his week that was. But first up, every bottom of the hour, I get you a sports update. And this bottom of... Get after this quickly. Time for the ATP. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Hi, Jim. I know it's your birthday weekend. What do you have planned? Happy birthday. Love, B. Bella B is in. Thanks, B. You know what? We have plans, but nothing for my birthday. We've become that family where we never, even the kids, it's almost impossible to celebrate the birthday on the birthday. Like a lot of people, right? There's just so much going on. So the answer is no plans this weekend for the birthday because we already have pre-existing plans for a million other things. But we'll get to it, I'm sure. No plans, B. No plans. What should I do for my birthday? My birthday is Sunday. I forgot, actually. Thank you for reminding me. There is your ATP. Quickly, this email says, unfortunately, Rick in Buffalo missed Tyler's response to his call because he was busy signing his John Hancock at the local sex offender registry. Matt in Vancouver. Boy, those dudes are a tag team, aren't they? Matt and Tyler in Shredmonton. And this one, hey, Brewers fan. Front row Amy barely scratches a 5 in SoCal. This means the Brewers stand no chance against the beautiful fan base of the Dodgers. This is called analysis, you ugly losers. John in Huntington Beach wore Mrs. Hawk going ham on shopping this weekend after what Hawk put her through. She would, except he spent all of his money getting that piece of crap that he rolls out of Hawk. Hawk. And one more. Dear Jim, it's funny how bootleg Batman is out there fighting crime every night and also performing his civic duty as a juror. Meanwhile, Hawk can't even be bothered to register his car. Why do I get the feeling that Hawk is 2 months and one audit away from joining Ja Rule and the Situation in the clink for tax evasion? Brett from Bugaha. Oh, hey, what you gonna do? Oh, hey. Brett. That was one of your best emails ever. And even at that, it's still a 2. Alvin, dude, you look so stressed. Just go ahead and roll it. What's going on? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. Nice to have you here on a Monday. What a crazy weekend that was. An amazing weekend, and I could not wait to get back to get in front of this mic, get in front of these CBS Sports Network cameras, and talk about what I saw over the weekend. And I want to get your thoughts, too. I need to hear from you. What do you think about what went down? I'm not starting with Sunday. I'm starting with Saturday night.
He ran and jumped over the octagon.
I have never seen the look on McGregor's face when he was sitting on that mat once it was over. You know, the look on his face right before Habib's dudes jumped him. You know, that part where they took what should have been the best night ever for Team Habib and they wrecked it.
My balls was hot.
Kevin Ioi is my guest.
This is not who MMA fighters are. There was a lot of new people watching on Saturday for the first time.
It's
and they
disgusting.
Saw something that wasn't really representative of how MMA athletes conduct themselves.
Touchdown!
Sitting at 5-0, heading into Foxborough. The big man and his young QB. Get to go into the hood in Tommy's house is something we did not know they had. A legitimate defense, maybe. I'm going to say it again. I said it before that game on national television.
Move over, Jerry Jones. The Cleveland Browns are America's team, coach.
Way to pick me up, fellas. Way to make me look good, fellas. But I knew you would.
Browns.
Have you bought his whiskey yet?
No, I don't drink.
Would you pay for a rematch?
Yes, I would. And I think McGregor would whoop his ass.
Brees has done it.
This just in. Drew Brees is very good at the sport of football. This was a guy that nobody wanted. Let's not forget, Nick Saban and the Miami Dolphins went with Dante Culpepper over Drew Brees.
Both guys were good players, so quit asking.
Is daddy happy? Turn that freaking phone around. Is daddy happy? Daddy wants to go have sex again. Jim Trotter.
And Alex appears on the landing up above, and he sees Nick, and he yells out very loudly, turns around and walks back in.
Twitter.
Mr. Trotter, in this house, we say butthole.
Butthole.
Signed
butthole.
The CBS censors.
Butthole.
Twitter.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. I would hate for that ever to get back to Ron Darling. Hey, Ron, did you hear Rome? He called you a little weasel. No, I did not. Salty Sarah called you a little weasel. And by the way, Salty Sarah, usually that's the kind of guy that you're thirsty for. Best troll job I've seen in a long time. I'll say it again. The Yankees are good. The Sox are better. Right now, better team, better manager,
better
organization. They're just better. Empty chair in the back row.
Batman.
He's not here.
Jury duty.
Dude, I hope you're doing your very best to make yourself as unattractive as possible. Providing your civic duty. Jordan Cronkite, did you have any idea yet something that special in you for that game?
Well, before I even get to that, I just want to know, how do I get wrecked?
Wreck him!
I just need to know.
Fourth and one from the other guy's 43.
It was a long one.
Fourth and 1 5/8.
Close to two.
God, that's different. It's close to two. Cameron Jordan.
If I get, a half step faster, then I'm going to close in a lot more sacks. I've already missed about three of them, and I'm kicking myself in the foot. Really irritated at myself.
Do you always think about the ones that you didn't get as opposed to the ones that you did get?
Oh, yeah. You can't complain about the meal you had. You can only complain about the meal you're looking forward to.
I'm eating macadamia nuts currently out of my fanny pack.
What's the difference between a mustache and a, quote, mustache?
Anyone can grow a mustache. I grew a mustache.
Lots to cover with Sean Casey.
Jeff Bagwell. He's like, hey, Kay, if you ever point at somebody around the third base again, I'm coming out there. I wanted to tell him, like, my buddies are here, and I was the MVP of the trip.
Denzel Ward, what does the team mean to the town, and how is the town responding to this particular team?
You could just feel the energy on the sideline and the crowd. Come to Cleveland, you was going to feel it. It felt like a family.
Dre Kirkpatrick.
When he first came, we was in OTAs. You can't press. That's not what we do around here. We press corners. So, of course, I'm like, I already know he's so fast.
Twitter!
You f***ing need me. Signed Nancy Kay. She got kneecaps. It's not the same thing. Need.
We're in October. I'm 2 months away. I'm 8 weeks away from this plan working out, and now I got to go fish it out of the yard for $500 and go to the DMV.
Time now for a sports update.
Email.
Caught Darwin's update. Is the S in CBS for shredded? Darwin, it's all you, bro.
All right, Jim, I don't know what to do with that intro. I'll take it. Barring a tie tonight.
Fabian, what's going on?
On October the 1st, I had to take a drug test, right? So today's the 11th, and I haven't heard anything. Therefore, I'm assuming I passed.
I don't know. Fabian, I don't know if that's true.
If it would have came out positive, they would have took my ugly ass out of the truck already, dude.
Kale's your prototypical a-hole. He's too stupid to realize the only people who live in Vegas are the ones who failed everywhere else. I'm gonna hunt you down and kick your ass.
Word.
Watch. Eli is watch.
Who just kissed you? There's a big old
That's not lipstick.
Dude. Under arrest for what?
My fat ass father agrees.
Come on, you saw us smoke some weed with you.
Sandy Duncan, let me think. Funny thing or iconic thing?
I aren't a thick.
Go fornicate himself.
Don't give a
still hometown love.
She has one eye.
Vertigo.
Roam me wrong. Always thank you.
Daddy's always.
Happy Friday.
Good night now.
Alvin, one of your best effort in months. Do what I do. Skip the gym. Get a high-energy workout with Peloton. Take live studio cycling classes from the comfort of your home with New York City's best instructors. Ride with thousands of other Peloton riders across the country on the interactive leaderboard. Track your own metrics over time. Continue to beat your own personal best. Head to onepeloton.com to learn more. I have a Peloton. Ride against me daily. onepeloton.com.